Oh, Nigel, can you flick that over for us, please? I get a bit, how would I put it? I get a bit reflective when, as I head towards the end of the year, because I look at the year that it's been, and I remember doing a similar talk last year and commented that it had been a weird year. This one's had some real challenges as well. It's been another different, weird experience in a lot of different ways. Having said that, we do live in a beautiful corner of the world, don't we? And one of the aspects of yesterday was the fact that I actually managed to climb up to a vantage point and got a view that I'd never seen before. And I keep thinking to myself, what does the view look like from heaven? From God who does not dwell in time, who is outside of time, the view is huge. We live in a very amazing corner of the world here in Invercargill, down the bottom end of the South Island of a little country at the bottom end of the South Pacific that most people never even hear of. When you talk about New Zealand, they might understand the All Blacks, they might understand Lord, they might understand a few other things, but they really don't know. They wonder if we're part of Australia, and that's sort of like swearing, but it's not. But it's we live in a beautiful corner of the world. And I got to experience some of that yesterday. It was just glorious. It was hard work, but it was glorious. And I would fully commend it to people if they have the time and opportunity to go and do that. Go and do it. You'll enjoy it. It will be challenging, but it will be very, very enjoyable. There is plenty there to see and to enjoy in our beautiful backyard. We've started to get used to this new normal thing. Like, if you'd said 2 years ago that most people would be wearing a mask all the time, that they would be doing various changes to their activities all the time, that we've got COVID passes, that we've got, you know, all of these things, I keep thinking to myself, what do I need to take with me if I go anywhere? I'm thankful I've got it on my phone now, my vaccine pass thingy, and all that kind of thing. And I've slowly, somewhat begrudgingly, but slowly started to get used to wearing a mask. As you go different places. So we've had to change and adapt. We had to stay home again during the year. It impacted us, and I honestly don't know what the future looks like. My guess, Neville's guess, for what it's worth, is it may not be as bad as what we think. I see the rates of cases dropping, and that's interesting, and I'm wondering if our high vaccination rates got something to do with that. They're going to let all the Aucklanders out next week on Wednesday and stand back. 10 plane loads of them are coming to Queenstown, so COVID's coming to a place near you very shortly. What that's going to look like, I don't know. As a church family, it has been quite challenging to try and work through what the scenarios are and how this plays out, what it looks like as we gather together. Our principal position is we want to stay open, and we're going to stay in this setting as it is currently until at least the end of January. Let this thing shake out a bit and we'll see how we go. What that looks like, again, is change is the only constant. So we've been told that the traffic light system is there, and that's what we're working at and working through, and if we're vaccinated you can do various things and whatnot and all the rest of it. I observed as we had the coffee shop in Clyde at the end of our ride, groups sitting around their tables, nobody was wearing masks. They were wearing masks, staff were wearing masks, people were wearing masks, walking into the shop, trying to do the right thing, going down and had to check your pass, all that sort of carry on. But life was, within reason, normal. And it was enjoyable. We had a great day together, and it was what it was. It was great. As I think about this year, I do reflect, however, that as a church family, we've lost some very good friends and people in our fellowship that have blessed us. Obviously, Stewie and Danielle. And I think of the ongoing effects of that on their families. So during the year, with even in the midst of all of that other change, there was real change. And they've joined what I believe and understand is the great cloud of witnesses. Heaven will not be boring if Stewie's there, I can guarantee that. It will be just glorious. And Danielle, a lady that tells the truth and had a strong faith, battled away. And it was delightful to witness her courage. But she's part of the great cloud of witnesses. And that's been part of life in our church family this year. For others, health's still a challenge. I think of Graham and Verna. Had a chat with Graham a little while ago, and just the ongoing challenge that Verna's health means. And they don't walk that journey alone. There's lots and lots of other folks in different categories, in different situations, whose health is quite a challenge. And I, you know, Earl, you said you're thankful for health, and it is, it's great, it's glorious, it's wonderful. But for those amongst us who battle with health, that is part of the journey. So be mindful and thoughtful about that as you operate in the family, in God's family. I was personally hugely encouraged, delighted, inspired by the stories of the folks who got baptized. That was a delight to hear what God has been doing in their lives, in their journeys, and starting off a whole new direction for their lives. And that was, as a church family, something we really, really rejoiced in and still do. So that was a real high point and a delight during the year. From a teaching point of view, we've spent quite a bit of time this year with two major parts, and that was, the first one was the Apostles' Creed. A statement that resonated out of the early church. It was a solidifying of what they believed. It was easy to be able to remember, and it stood them in very, very good stead of what they were about. And here we are 2,000 years later, and the truth and the reality of what is written there hasn't changed. During the year, we spent a little bit of time also looking at the Bible program, understanding the big picture of the big book that God inspired. It is complex, but God is in the business of sharing to us just, and I suppose as I was biking along yesterday thinking about this morning, I sort of kept thinking, well, okay, if we are as complex and have the abilities that we have as human beings, how would you communicate that to a mosquito? How would you communicate that? You'd communicate that with a lot of difficulty. With a lot of difficulty. So that's just a picture of what it's like for God to try and communicate how big and how vast and how intense and glorious and everything that he is to us as human beings that have our own way of doing things. But we spent time very intentionally looking at the Bible through the Bible program, and that was really, really instructive and helpful. The second part of that was because there is many in our fellowship for whom English is a second language, and the challenges that creates in communication and understanding. So that's one of the reasons why we did that program together. Lastly, as I thought about that, the reason why we did all that was to build a strong foundation. Foundations are important. They're important when you're building buildings. They're important when you're building lives. They're important when you're building churches. We build on a strong foundation of the Word of God. And that has a that is an anchor point for everything that we do. And that's one of, that's really the reason why we spent time looking at those two major parts of work during the year. As I was biking along, I noticed this sign. And it's a warning sign on the track up at Dunstan. And it's got various hazards and things like that that you may encounter, and more likely you will encounter. Oh, Joe, can you flick the lights off? Sorry. That might help. And so the sign's there, and I thought, illustration, because I look at life through the eyes of a preacher. And so I thought, illustration. There is 1,051 imperatives in the New Testament. There's 1,051 statements that come out in, that are grafted into the New Testament that are both positive and negative. Things that we should avoid, but things that we should be doing. So as I was munching on that idea, went past that sign, stopped, took a photo of it, and had a look at that. And then I thought, I wonder what. And I just waited for verses to bubble to the top in my mind, because I think in verses. Here's the first one that bubbled to the top. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. As I think about the wider dynamics of our church family and some of the challenges that some families have got on at the moment, with a plethora of activities amidst a society there where change is the only constant, amidst an environment where there has been a lot of angst because of different positions people hold with vaccinating versus unvaccinating, in the midst of angst around direction, with the sense of overwhelm and exhaustion that I sense and feel with a lot of people in our society because of the strains that these changes have put on them. We are told, and this is God's will for our lives, to give thanks to God. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go through the exercise this morning of giving thanks. What are you thankful for? So God wants us, this is God's will. This is what God wants us to do and be in the circumstances that we are currently in. Number one, he wants us to be thankful. So that was the first verse that bubbled to the top as I was biking along yesterday. The second one was this one. Coming from 1 Peter chapter 2, you are the chosen people. You were chosen by God before the beginning of the world. That's the reality. God knew that you would believe. And you are a priest, male and female. You are a priest, a person who offers praise to God. You are God's special possession. And some people have reflected on that this morning in our thanksgiving. Why? Purpose. One of the primary functions of the church is to praise God. We are here to declare his praises. Worship is incredibly important. It is just the life flow of the church. Prayer is important. Fellowship is important. The word of God is important. You were brought into the family of God for the purpose of declaring his praise in this world. He called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The light is wonderful. That was the second verse that bubbled to the top. Then this one came along as well. God's love is one of the greatest realities in our universe. Two things that I know to be absolutely true and emphatically believe: that every single human being is made in the image of God, and they are completely fallen, absolutely fallen. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that sin nature was passed on to every single human being. You see the symptoms and the signs and the activities and the actions in human beings and in our own lives all the time. for anybody that stands up here, for anybody, we are more painfully aware of our own inadequacy and our own inability and our own brokenness. But think something else that I am emphatically believe and utterly want to emphasize and highlight and put an underline around is the love of God. It changes everything. For God so loved the everybody. And that has never, ever changed. This whole story began with God. It was his idea. It was his intention. It was his plan. It is his glory that is at the center of the universe, and we are loved by a God like that. And on earth, Jesus' best friend was John, the Apostle John. He got to see and experience and witness a whole lot of things. He said, the reason why I've written this down is so that you might believe in his gospel. And he mentions this in his first letter to the church, and he uses these words so often, dear friends. It is deeply, passionately personal to him about the people that he was writing to. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us. This is not budget. This is not sort of just enough. This is everything. This is exuberant. This is over the top. This is just everything that God has for us. He has lavished his love on us that we should be called children of God. Some of you expressed that as you were reflecting on your thankfulness. The position that God calls us into as children of God is an elevated one. Now, I use the story of Mephibosheth to highlight and sort of give a picture to that. In his brokenness, in his inability, David, out of mercy and out of grace, gave him a place at the table, and he would always be looked after. My Father in heaven has a place for me in Father's house, and I'm looking forward to it. And I will dwell with him for eternity because he first loved me with a lavish love. And that love is available to every single person. John would go on to say that by this, people will know that you are my disciples by your observable community. The challenge of actually doing church, of actually being church and doing church in the midst of all the regulations and regulation changes and guidelines and Zoom calls and all of that is challenging. But the observable community that God calls us into, you see, God is a God of community. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let us make man in our image. Who did he say that to? That was a conversation that happened inside the Godhead. You see, God is a community in and of himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is a community of love, and God calls us into that relationship. And so that relationship, that community is expressed in a local sense, that is church here in Invercargill, in the year 2021, going into year 2022. And by this, John the Apostle said, by this observable community, all people, people outside of the church will know that you are my disciples by your observable community that you have with one another. And I believe emphatically, and this is what resonated as I was thinking about this morning for the last wee while, is the small actions. It might be the phone calls, the text messages, or the emails, or the drop-ins, or the dropping off a gift, or just a plethora of small things. You have no idea. And I remember the story that Mike Wilson told us. Remember at the reunion? He told us the story of when he was a youth group leader, and they had the bunch of boys up at Macetown, you know, it was somewhere over that way, and they had them in a camp, and these bunch of drunk yahoos turned up and they were shooting things and all this sort of carry on. So he had to sort of wait until they died down shooting and pop his head over the parapet, as it was, over the little mound, and just say, hi, I'm Mike Wilson, I'm a youth group leader, and I've got a bunch of guys over here, please don't shoot in our direction, not a good idea. And that's all he said. Little did he know that there was a person in the tent thinking about giving up his faith. And at that moment, Mike Wilson pops his head over the top and says that, and changes his direction. He ends up being a pastor of a church that would lead hundreds of people to the Lord, and the story goes on. And so I just stand in amazement with what God does and how God works. Last 2 weeks ago at men's prayer breakfast, we had a guy from the Salvation Army talk to us about the work that he'd done over in Africa. And I just go, wow. One little aspect of one little part of one little piece of work that just, we have no idea of what God is doing. But he sees the little things, even the cup of cold water that is given in his name. So keep doing little things. As I biked along a little bit further, this verse certainly resonated. Love is action. How can we encourage each other in that, in good deeds, good activities, also not giving up meeting together? It's a challenge. I get that. I understand that. But so much change. It's difficult. And we're trying real hard, and there is no easy answer, to find what sits best with our church fellowship from a leadership point of view. But don't give up meeting together, because that's really important. Encourage one another, because the day is approaching. God's big picture is still at work. The biggest big picture you can think of, we can even remotely touch with our imaginations. God is at work. His big picture is at work. As I thought about warnings, the warning sign, and as I thought about warnings, one of the strongest warnings that I see in the New Testament comes from the book of Revelation. It's talking to churches, and this is only one of them. It's the church of Ephesus. Again, John is writing, John the apostle that knew Jesus the very best, John the apostle that was called the son of thunder, that Jesus washed his feet and changed his absolute outlook on life. John the apostle who would look after Jesus' mother Mary, and that honor was given to him when Jesus was on the cross. John who would walk into the tomb, see and believe. And John, in his old age, was given the opportunity to see the big picture from God's perspective. And one of the things that he talked about was forsaking love. A church that was so intent on the truth that love wasn't balanced. And so it's constantly, what I see in Revelation with the messages for the churches is balance. They were intent on keeping error out. They were intent on keeping the false apostles out. They were intent on keeping things right. That their love wasn't in balance. So truth and love. And Jesus had them in balance. And that's the difficulty for us human beings, is finding the balance. Dealing in truth, but dealing in grace. And so the warning to the church there, and the warning to Rosedale, as I see it, is that we are to remember not to forsake our first love, but to find and keep the balance of that. To go too far down the loving line means that we're going to allow sin in. But to go too far down the truth line says that we will not be loving. Balance. So I see that in the sense of warning that comes from that. I'd have to say I'm absolutely looking forward to the Christmas service in whatever shape, form that's going to take, because I've been reading Isaiah for the last 3 months, and it's a big book, and I've only started, it's like paddling in the ocean. It's huge, but I've been reading it, trying to get my head around it, failing. It's just big. But the message really strongly has come that those living in darkness have seen a great light. And the light was coming into the world. And at Christmas time, I rejoice. Because God changes everything. God changes everything. And to be in communion with him, to take bread and drink the wine, the physical aspects that he asked us to do so that we don't forget, so that we get the sense of sitting at the table as he matter-of-factly talked about the reality of the future that he was facing, of the horror of fighting sin on our behalf, but of the big picture that he was doing his Father's will, and of the even bigger picture of understanding that that action would by in and of itself bring deliverance and freedom and rejoicing and thankfulness from generations and generations and generations. Those that had walked already and those that were yet to walk. His big picture was in play, and that was the time and that was the place, and he instituted it so that we would never ever forget that we are blood bought, loved intensely but deeply fallen. And the true light that was giving life to everybody was coming into the world. And that's what the beauty of Christmas is about. A story that has resonated really, really strongly as I've thought about the Christmas message was in World War I, when the Germans and the Allies were in trench warfare. And at Christmas, they stopped and met each other. And I thought, what is it about Christmas that does that? There was enough light in their society, in their culture, in their psyche, in their memory, in their background, for them to know that the glory of Christmas is the light that God shone into a dark society. And in the horror, and that's all I can think about, of the horror of World War I, the utter depression of that madness and hatred, a light shone in that, and they stopped fighting and talked to each other. Wow. The next day they went back to war, but that happened because of Christmas. And that is the wonder of what God is doing. And so I'm really enjoying that and looking forward to the Christmas message. So that's my thoughts as I review the year of what God has been doing in our midst, thinking about the bigger picture of why we do and teach what we do, but also the impact that that's having in the lives of our church family. From the eldership's point of view, we are delighted to see what God is doing in our midst. Delighted. Thankful for so many people that offer so much of their time and ability and expertise in so many different areas to allow the body of Christ to function as it does. Thankful for the people that stay even for a period of time, move on, do various things. Want to bless them and thankful to God for them. But the message of Christmas was that the light was coming into the world, and we have the joy and the wonder and the challenge of living in community together to communicate a message to a world that is in darkness about what Jesus really means. So my encouragement is, be the church. The reality of listening to what the scriptures tells us, teaches us, encourages us and warns us about is there. It's there for our learning and understanding as we live in a society that has rejected him but is still in darkness, and we have the opportunity and we've been chosen for these days to live in this society, to seek to witness to this society about the love of our God and enjoy that love in our midst together for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you are doing in our midst. We acknowledge today how good you are, how great is that light, how glorious is your big picture. Thank you for what you are doing and have done and will do, all that you have chosen that will happen. Nothing will come to pass apart from your empowering and your plan and your desire and your will. Thank you for that. we ask and pray as a church family that we might be in your will as we operate together in community. Thank you for placing us in this society, in this place, in this corner of Aotearoa to be witnesses to the light that you provide that is glorious and that will shine even brighter in the days to come until we meet you face to face. And until that day, we seek to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said? I think we've got one more song, have we, Andrew? No, we haven't? Brilliant. Alrighty, we are going to enjoy a morning tea together. Thank you very much, everyone.